From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, it's already October, ladies and gents. Can you believe that? Already October. It's 7 days, well, 6 days from my birthday now. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. Now, I tell you what. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin, first of all. We have a ton to talk about, and I want to remind you all that you can be in the live studio audience, yes, you, this week when I sit down with Kathy Klages, the head coach of the MSU women's gymnastics team. That's right, Current Sports TV, folks. She is a three-time Big Ten Coach of the Year with 21, yes, 21 winning seasons at MSU, 21 out of 22. Unbelievable record there. Recording takes place at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow. That's right, 6:30 p.m. tomorrow at WKAR Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are totally free. That's right, no charge, but reservations are strongly recommended because seating is limited. Now, that's Current Sports with Al Martin and guest Kathy Klages. To reserve your free seats to be in the TV audience, visit WKAR.org. I look forward to seeing you there tomorrow night. So again, sign up if you want to be a part of the live audience tomorrow as I sit down with Kathy Klages, MSU gymnastics coach, WKAR.org to be a part of the live audience. Okay, let's get to the show. Here are your current sports headlines for this October 1st, 2013. All right, Jack Wallace. Can you believe this story? This Jack Wallace story just gets, hopefully it's done now. Because it was one of those stories you look at and you just kind of shake your head and say, what in the world was going on here? But Jack Wallace, who, of course, on Current Sports, as we told you all, that Jack Wallace, longtime coach around this area, used to coach Fowlerville for many years, actually a Hall of Fame high school football coach from the area. He is now Okemos' football coach. Last season, he didn't have a great season. They started off the season a bit rocky, still searching for their first win. But Jack Wallace was actually let go, quote unquote, by the Okemos athletic director, Ira Childress, or so we thought. But then yesterday came some rather alarming news. Jack Wallace was actually reinstated as Okemos' varsity head football coach during practice on Monday after meeting with Superintendent Catherine Ash, Principal Christine Cernak, and Athletic Director Ira Childress. Now, Wallace claimed that he was fired by Childress after a meeting Wednesday night with Cernak and Childress. Now, Childress claimed he accepted Wallace's resignation. Crum, who was an assistant football coach on the team, he actually took over the interim position on Thursday morning and served as the head coach for the Chiefs' 27-6 loss at Sexton on Friday night. So, yes, Okemos is now 0-5. Now, I actually received an email from Ira, as I assumed he sent out to all of the media members within this area, and I'll read it for you. The email said, quote, "Good evening. As all of us have reflected on the recent events regarding our football program and the status of our varsity football coach, it was clear that the unintended outcome was a result of a flawed process and poor communication between the parties. Mr. Wallace believed he had been terminated as the varsity football coach. The district believed Mr. Wallace had resigned from his position. Neither of these were accurate beliefs. Therefore, further communication was initiated to resolve the matter. As a result of this communication, it has been established that Mr. Wallace is and remains the varsity football coach. He was neither fired nor did he resign. This was communicated to the team on Monday at practice. Mr. Wallace has resumed his coaching responsibilities. Thank you, Ira Childress." That was the email many of us in the media received from Ira Childress yesterday. I'm now joined by Matt Luttke as we kind of dive in deep with this. And I tell you what, Matt, this whole situation to me, it kind of rubs me the wrong way for various reasons. And one of the reasons I want to look at is, first of all, what in the heck was going on there?
Right.
Why would there even be an inkling? If you had no intention of letting Jack go, why would there be an inkling or some miscommunication that he was resigning or that you fired him? Why would there be this blurred line there? So that's one aspect I have a problem with the story with. The other aspect of this that I think a lot of people aren't talking about is the kids involved. Those kids who apparently they love Jack Wallace. Even though they lost against Sexton, we talked about this yesterday. Even though they lost, it was a 27-6 loss. Again, Ole Miss is still searching for that first win of the season. Even though they lost, though, after the game, going into the fourth quarter, what Ole Miss's tradition is, they usually hold up the number four, and they all raise their hands and they put up four. On Friday, they all put up three fingers, kind of in the shape of a W, to kind of pay homage to Jack Wallace, Coach Wallace. Obviously, there's a lot of love. Those kids love Coach Wallace. I mean, just look at his resume. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He was unbelievable at Fowlerville as a coach. I mean, he's trying to rebuild a program, so you expect a few rocky seasons. But the point is, those kids love Coach Wallace. And to see, it was coming out that it was reported that there was a lot of pressure on Ira coming from the parents who were kind of fed up with the program, the way the program was going. I guess some of them, you know, Tim Stout had an article in Lansing State Journal talking about how, you know, some of the parents were upset that their kids weren't getting enough playing time. And this is when you boil down the essence of sports here. Sports at the high school level is supposed to be about fun.
Right.
It's supposed to be about going out there, enjoying the game of football or whatever sports you play, and playing for the love of it. You can deal with the money and the politics when college and pros start. That's when you start dealing with that kind of stuff. But at the high school level, I just thought the whole situation sent the wrong message to the kids. And I'm sure a lot of those kids, because, a lot of them expressed, you know, through unknown sources, who I won't name, I mean, digging into this story, that, you know, a lot of them would text Coach Wallace and say, man, we were really pulling for you, Coach. Coach Wallace said that one of the kids, once he went out there and said, hey, you know, I'm done, one of the kids actually texted Coach Wallace and said, man, this really hurts. I was really pulling for you, Coach. And so there was a lot of love there. And, you know, it just sends the wrong message that winning is everything.
Right.
That's what I get from this story, and that really bothers me.
Yeah, and if he had that kind of relationship with his players, even, you know, through an 0-4 season, I think that shows, you know, the kind of coach he is and how much he cares about his players and how much his players care about him. And like you were saying, with the parent angle, I was just reading on the LSJ that some parents of kids on the team had arranged to kind of, you know, protest his firing this Wednesday. So it kind of seems like Ira Childress got backed into a corner by a group of parents.
Right.
Maybe got shaken by the pressure a little bit, made a snap decision, or didn't, depending on whose side of the story you believe.
Right.
And then he caught even more flack for letting Wallace go and decided to kind of take a few steps back and undo it.
Right.
That's kind of a vibe you can definitely be picking up from it.
Yeah.
It's tough to know who to believe because it seems like
there's a lot
every
of
hours, you know? Exactly, you get
right.
Somebody else's take on the story. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. But like you were saying at the beginning, you know, clearly there were discussions that were at least in that realm of you are fired or I resign.
Right.
Because why else would this be happening? If, you know, if neither thing was said, what was being said to lead
to bring
either
up.
Party to that conclusion?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that's the question that's out there lingering. And, you know, I guess this story comes at opportune timing that we have Ira Childress, actually. He will be our guest for Current Sports TV next week. So we'll definitely address it. I'm very curious to see what he says. That might boost our ratings through the roof on that night, huh?
I think it should. I mean, Ira's
prepping
for that already.
Right, right. I know, right?
He's got some questions to answer,
he,
for sure.
He does. And, you know, we had Ira this past summer when he got hired because, like you said, this is Ira's first year. We had him, you know, throughout the summer when he first got hired. He sat right in here in the studio. He seems like a very, very intelligent, really nice guy. And like you said, when you look at this story, I can definitely see the angle of him kind of getting back into a corner because he just got hired.
Right.
Is his first season as Ole Miss High School's athletic director. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have these parents that are a little unhappy. You know, it might have, like you said, it might have backed him into a corner. he panics.
Right.
And, you know, makes a decision that, you know, is really sporadic and that he regrets down the line. Ultimately, I thought, you know, him sending out this email and retracting this whole thing and putting Wallace back on the sidelines was the right move.
Right.
I think it was the right move. I'm happy for Jack. He's such a great coach. I actually did a story on Jack last year when I was at Channel 6. A really just good guy. Good guy, good heart, great coach. His resume speaks for itself. And I think you had to reinstate him for a number of reasons from a standpoint of sending a message to show the team that, hey, it's not all about, you know, the X's and O's. It's not all about coming through with the W. Sometimes it's about just having that person there. And, again, you're rebuilding. This is a rebuilding team. Oakham is historically, you know, if you look at the past season they've had, they haven't been great.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're bringing in a new coach. He just came off his first season, and you expect them to just rack off wins to start this season again? I mean, it's a rebuilding process. Building a program, a sports program, from going from down in the dumps to a legitimate, you know, even average team, takes a lot of work.
Right.
You know, you got to give them that, you know, that benefit of the doubt right there. So, again, how do you think Oakham has handled the situation? What are your thoughts on it? Do you know Jack at all? Give us a call. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. I am dying to hear what you guys think about this story, because this hits home right to you guys, right in Mid-Michigan. I'm sure many of you listening probably, you know a kid that may be on the football team, may know a coach that's on the football team, you know, may have went to Oakham's High School yourself, maybe a personal friend of Jack's. Give us a call. We would love to hear from you. 517-355-9527. All right, in the meantime, let's get to our other headlines. Game times for the Tigers and A's have been announced. The Detroit Tigers will open the American League Division Series against the Oakland A's at 9:37 p.m. on Friday night. Major League Baseball tweeted the start times for Games 1 and 2 this afternoon. Game 2, also in Oakland, will start at 9:07 p.m. on Saturday. Now, both games will be televised on TBS. After returning from Oakland, the Tigers will host Game 3, scheduled for next Monday at Comerica Park. Mark your calendars, folks, and Game 4 on Tuesday, if necessary. Game 5 is also scheduled for Thursday, October 10th. Now, the umpires, MLB also revealed the umpiring crew for the Tigers A's ALDS. Crew chiefing will be Gary Darling. Working him are C.B. Bucknor, Mike DeMuro, and Tom Hallion and Jim Reynolds, and also Mark Wegner. So those are your umpires. TBS also announced the broadcasting assignments covering the Tigers A series will be Don Orsillo on the play-by-play with Dennis Eckersley and Buck Martinez providing color commentary. David Aldridge will serve as the field reporter. All right, Rays and Rangers. Well, Matt, looks like I'm going to be singing, huh?
That's literally all I could think of last night is, boy.
Finally.
Al blew it.
I definitely blew it. I was being too nice. I was too nice. Such a nice guy. I gave Alex a final pick to possibly tie me, and that's exactly what happened. And I was panicking. Like I said, I was out driving about, you know, listening to the game on XM radio, and it was not looking good as the seventh inning approached, and the eighth, and I'm on my last leg in the ninth, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Let me start warming up. So I will be singing. Alex and I will be singing because we lose the month of September, and Matt, You got any idea? You're not giving me a hint on what time you're singing that.
I got a few things up my sleeve. It's going to be a very tough selection process.
Oh boy, whatever it is, I'm ready. I'm going to rock it out.
Right? I know you are. You guys both will. It'll be a good performance. I think it will.
I'm ready for it, man. But anyway, yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays, they're going to the playoffs again, getting there with a victory in their final regular season game. For the second time in 3 years, now David Price pitched his fourth complete game this season. Evan Longoria hit a two-run homer, and the Rays beat the Texas Rangers 5-2 in the AL wildcard tiebreaker game Monday night, the 163rd game for both teams. Now, they move on, the Tampa Bay Rays move on to play the Cleveland Indians in the AL wildcard game. The playoffs start tonight for the MLB season, so definitely looking forward to that. All right, University of Texas AD, DeLoss Dodds. Dodds, am I saying that right?
I think so.
I think so. DeLoss Dodds, he has announced that he will step down in August of 2014. Dodds will reportedly stay on staff as a consultant through 2015. Now, the 76-year-old has seen Texas become one of the most financially viable programs in the nation with their $163.3 million $1 billion annual budget, ranking first in the country. That is a lot of moolah, folks. He helped negotiate a $300 million 20-year deal with ESPN to create the Longhorn Network. And Dodge's tenure in Austin has seen the Longhorns win 14 national championships and 108 conference titles since he took the job back in 1971. Now, according to the Austin American-Statesman report, UT President Bill Powers will lead the search to replace Dodge. The school is hoping to find its next athletic director by December 1st. After an 0-4 start and included home losses to Michigan, Towson, and a 41-12 loss at Buffalo, the University of Connecticut has fired head coach Paul Pasculani. Now, the slow start combined with Pasculani's overall record of 10-18 led the Huskies athletic department to make the change. This is from UConn AD Ward Manuel. He said, quote, "I'm changing now because we have to have different leadership to get different results. I'm not comfortable with losing." I mean, who is? The school will pay Pasculani $750,000 to buy out the remainder of his contract. UConn, who hired Pasculani after reaching the 2011 Fiesta Bowl, have appointed offensive coordinator T.J. Weist as their interim head coach. Another firing here. The Cubs fired Sveum. I think I'm saying that right, right? Fired Dale Sveum on Monday after finishing last in the NL Central for the first time in 7 years. Now, the firing ended a 2-year run that produced more losses than any other stretch in the team's history. Just terrible. Now, Sveum was among Epstein's first hires after Epstein came over from the Boston Red Sox in 2011. He had little experience as a manager when he agreed to take the job. Now, Sveum, who had 1 year left on his contract, said he thought he was fine before Epstein said the manager was being evaluated during a second half season trip. Now, Chicago went, 61-101 in Sveum's first season. So he says bye-bye. Oh, man, that's just a bad team over there in Chicago, man. Drew Brees and New Orleans Saints handed the Miami Dolphins their first loss Monday night with a 38-17 romping. Brees passed for 413 yards and 4 touchdowns. 2 of Brees' touchdowns went to Jimmy Graham, who had at least 100 yards receiving for the 3rd consecutive game. He's been great. Brees' other scoring strikes went to Benjamin Watson and Darren Sproles, who also rushed for a touchdown. Atlanta fans booed Vince Wilfork when he fell with an injury on Sunday night, thinking the Patriots' defensive tackle was acting to slow the Falcons' offense. Now, we've seen that countless times in the NFL. A guy fakes an injury to kind of slow play down a little bit so the defense can recuperate. But that wasn't the case, folks. This one was serious. Vince Wilfork's injury was serious. On Monday, Bill Belichick confirmed that the injury was a torn right Achilles. Oh, man, and that Wilfork is likely to miss the rest of the season. Can you believe that, folks? Wilfork had to be carted from the Patriots' sideline to the locker room during the team's win. Wilfork, who is a Pro Bowler, played all 16 games in 2010, 11 and 12, and has missed a grand total of just 6 games in his entire career. So, oh, man, I guess those folks are definitely feeling bad after that boo, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they should, and that's a huge injury for
it is.
The Pats. He's probably their best defensive player. Yeah. He's been a mainstay of that franchise for as long as I can remember.
Right.
And you know, when big guys like that hurt their legs,
it could be really, really bad. It could be his career.
Exactly. I mean, that's not to be understated at all. That is a very serious injury. You know,
right.
Best wishes to him because he is a heck of a football player.
He is.
And
he's
fun to watch, too,
because
he occupies about 5 people on the line. He is a big fella, and he gets things done.
Yes, he does. Vince Wilfork, like I said, he's a huge guy. And like you said, when you talk about a knee injury, tearing your Achilles, that's a lot of weight on that knee.
Exactly.
I hope he'll get back to some form of relevancy, you know, when he comes back and playing again. But, man, that could be crucial for New England's defense there. And also want to note the NHL. Yes, the NHL season kicks off tonight, hockey fans, with multiple games. The Red Wings begin their season at the Joe tomorrow against the Sabres. Puck drops at 8 p.m. Well, those are your current sports headlines for the day. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show when it comes to the entire Jack Wallace situation. Now, Jack Wallace, head football coach at at Okemos High School, he was let go last week, but now he has been reinstated by the team, according to Okemos Athletic Director Ira Childress. What do you think about that whole situation? 517-355-9527. 95-27. Definitely want to hear your thoughts on that. Also, MSU football is right around the corner. This Saturday, they take on the Iowa Hawkeyes this Saturday at noon. D'Antonio Presser, I actually sat down with D'Antonio. I didn't get to make the presser because I was actually sitting down with D'Antonio for Current Sports TV. A very, very revealing interview with Coach D'Antonio. You get to see another side of him, kind of relaxed, chill. He talks about other, you know, a lot of things other than X's and O's. He loves the show Homeland. Never seen Homeland, but he loves the show Homeland. You'll see that in the interview. But anyway, didn't get to make the presser, but Matt, you were following it on Twitter, and you want to note something about McGarrett Kings, right?
Kings and Shelton are in at kick returner. Previously, it had been Nick Hill.
Right.
This is a big swap. Kings has kind of moved into the punt returner area, too, after Andre Sims' injury. Now we get him and R.J. Shelton in tandem at kick returner. So a little more speed, getting a little younger at the returner spots. They need big plays, and I think they're trying to make them happen anywhere.
Right.
Special teams, defense, offense, wherever, because they definitely need them.
I think that's a very good move. I liked, you know, because we saw Kings, you know, return a few kicks in the past, and I thought that he got a lot of speed on him. For a receiver, I think he has great hands, too. I think Kings has a lot of potential.
He's
going to have a good, you know.
He's got some shake, too.
He's
got a little shake and bake in him.
He
and
can
I like
get out
that.
There.
You need somebody who can, you know, make people miss and get a few extra yards, and he definitely seems like he's that kind of guy.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And then also, you know, when I sat down with D'Antonio, I kind of asked him, you know, in light of this whole quarterback controversy that we've been talking about week after week with this MSU football team. You know, I sat down and just asked, you know, D'Antonio, is Cook the guy? And, you know, he gave me a straight-up answer and said, looked at me right in the eye and said, yeah, he really has a, you know, looking at, you know, just his the way he answered that, it seems as though he's got a lot of confidence in this kid. The entire coaching staff is sticking behind him, even though it didn't seem like that at Notre Dame. let's be honest here. But we'll see. It's going to be very interesting because this Iowa Hawkeye team is nothing to sleep on. They have a decent team this season, I think, and it'll be, you know, a real test for them. So we'll see how that pans out. Okay, well, when we return to Current Sports, we are going to talk a little MSU hoops. Yes, I said MSU hoops. You all have been blowing me up. Yes, just about Tom Izzo's remarks during Friday's Izzo practice that was open to the fans. You guys have been hitting me up. You're really interested to see what Izzo had to say. Well, when we come back, we'll play that presser for you. Don't go anywhere. More Current Sports is coming right back.
Here, now, in the moment.
It's a fast-moving stream of news and information. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. We are co-hosts for Here and Now, your source for news, updates, and great stories.
In the middle of your day, stay on top of what's happening.
With Here and Now, from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Don't miss a thing.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Seven days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Yes, football is in full effect right now. NFL, college football, high school football. I mean, pigskin is definitely taking over all of our lives. You gotta love it, though. Gotta love football season. But that doesn't stop you hoop fans from getting excited. As many of you know, the famed Izzone Campout took place last Friday at Munfield on MSU's campus. It was the biggest turnout in 8 years. Can you believe that? 3,000 students came out. Can you believe that? You got to check out the pictures if you haven't seen it. They're all over the internet. It's a really, really cool picture with Tom Izzo. He's standing, like, you know, right in front of Munfield, and the entire 3,000 Izzone campers in back of him, like looking right at the camera. It looks like all of them are looking right at the camera. It is a really, really cool picture. But man, you guys came out in full effect last Friday. I tell you that. That was great to see. But the Izzone was let in earlier that day to attend an open practice, you know, as traditionally is done. Now, in Izzo, Tom Izzo spoke to the media about his thoughts entering the upcoming season. And I tell you what, you all have just been dying to hear what Tom Izzo had to say. You guys have been hitting me up left and right about this, about the presser he had. I mean, and understandably so, because MSU is, you know, if you look at just about every preseason report, MSU is up there, man. They are really, really up there. A lot of them have number one, two. If they're not number one and two, they're in that top five, trust me. And deservingly so, they have a lot of, they didn't really lose anybody. They have everybody coming back, you know, Adrian Payne, BJ's back, you know. They have a very, very solid team. So during that presser, Izzo kind of addressed the status of the team. So, hey, Coach, where are you at?
Well, where are we at? I guess, you know, we're not going through all the players or anything, but this is a different experience. I mean, this is strange. We're starting 21 days earlier than we did last year. I think there's pluses to it. I was a fan of it because I think it gives us a chance that we don't have to get our players going and just kill them the first week or two. I think it's going to be a plus in the long run. I am a little concerned because starting now, no matter how many days you take off, there's still the mental grind, and it adds 3 weeks to the season. As I said, I'm for it in every way, but I'm concerned on how we handle it.
And are you healthy that you...
You know, Gary's not, and Denzel, believe it or not, they don't know if he got a spider bite or what, but his hand swelled up about this big. He won't practice probably the first couple of days. There's nothing wrong. I mean, there's no injury. There's no break. It's just an infection, I guess, of some kind in his hand. And Gary, I think, will do some things today. But I'm going to be a little bit more. It's so early in the year, even though we're practicing. I think he's a week away from doing things that are physical in any way or shape or form.
So how do you do things differently then? I mean, in terms of just practice.
Yeah. I'm going to do probably a lot of things similar in the practice. But what I might do is have 2 days on, maybe 2 days off, 2 days on, 2 days off, and then, you know, 3 days on, 1 day off to try to gradually get them to where it's what it's going to be, where it's 6 days on, 1 day off during the week.
How do you feel about the expectations, some early polls? Have you won, two, that kind of thing?
You know, I'm excited about it. I mean, I think we've, in the last 15 years, been a top 20 program, top 15 program a lot, top 10 enough. But there is a difference when you're top five. And, you know, and like I said, though, within a couple of years, I've seen be number one and be out in the first round and be number one and be to a Final Four. So I hope the players are as smart as I am in that respect, to know that it's just a ranking. Like everything else, I think we deserve to be a highly ranked team, but I think there's a lot of other teams that do too. And so hopefully that ranking, we can live up to those expectations.
Pleased with the chemistry and leadership of this team?
I am. I'm pleased with the chemistry. I'm still on question with the leadership. You know, it's been an ongoing thing. I think it's an ongoing problem with a lot of teams. You know, and we just actually met for an hour about it. You know, instead of meeting on the practice, we met on that because maybe I'm looking for too much. You know, maybe I'm looking for the Cleaves, the Walton, the Draymond, you know, the vocal guys that that really get after it. And maybe I got to look for the guy that's respected the most by him. And in some way, not lead by example, because I hate that term, but find a way to get guys to do things the right way in a different way, maybe not as boisterous, you know. And so we're looking at that, too.
When you do the captain's thing?
You know, I think it'll be a week or so, maybe even two. I think now I'll get a chance. There's been one negative with the recruiting and this new way of doing things. We had to really pack everything in. I was on the road probably more than I've ever been for a couple weeks because trying to be here a little more. And then, you know, once we go 2 days off, I'm going to be on the road 2 days. It's just the way it's going to be. So I haven't been here as much, you know, and I try to rush through our two-hour workouts and have one on a Sunday, but there hasn't been a lot of time to sit down with guys and do the things that I think you need to do, and yet we have a lot of time left. So, you know, I think in the next week or two, I mean, we have an idea and what we're looking at, and I think the players will too, but it's, I think it's important. You know, we brought those Navy SEALs guys in earlier in the week, and one of the reasons is to get a different opinions on, number one, what leadership's all about, what you have to demand to be a leader, and who in their drills looks like would be a leader. And so we're going to be talking to them a little bit more, talking to our players a little bit more, and trying to make this a bigger deal than normal, because I still believe without one, you're in trouble, and I think it's got to be one or two guys, not just a group like I've tried in the past.
So it'll be a player's vote, or like you guys pick, or how do you do it?
Tough question. I mean, the players are always going to have the most input, but I won't say it'll be just the players. It's going to be all of us. It's going to be the program. The program's going to decide who the captains are. And the program, I mean, I am going to look at all the people that touch them, all the people that have an opinion, because I think it's that important a deal. So I don't think it's just the players, and it's not going to be just the coaches.
Did you see enough growth from Keith in that role last year where you think he could take a step this year?
I could. I didn't see as much in that area. I've seen a lot this summer as far as the other areas of Keith that I've been really excited about and impressed with. And I got to realize, too, to some guys it's a burden. So sometimes it's a pleasure. I you know, I just went up to a little deal for Buck Nystrom that they had last weekend. And, you know, he made a statement there that kind of hit me as hard as anything's hit me. He said, of all the things he's done, he's been voted the best offensive line coach. He's been an academic All-American. He's been through 5 national championships as a player and as an assistant coach. The greatest thrill of his life was being named captain at Michigan State University. I think somehow I got to get back where that is, you know, Travis Wong, Draymond Green, that meant the world to him. And been a little bit of a struggle on that. That's the, if there is an area of question mark, but I bet you if everybody was honest about it, it'd be a question mark on a lot of teams.
Tom, are you the belief that not everyone's born to be a captain or a leader?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I am. I do believe that. I don't think everybody is. And I don't think everybody's capable of, for a variety of different reasons. But maybe what I got to do a better job of is look at who has the respect for their teammates, not who does it the Tom Izzo way. Again, not into the lead by example at all. Cop out, hate it, despise it. But doesn't mean you have to grab Joe by the throat like Mateen did, or do this what Travis did. It doesn't have to be that way either.
Does the normal practice change at all? There used to be a sense of urgency when you only had 2 weeks.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, we're going to try to teach a little bit more in this first week and a half, and instead of having to rush through things, we're going to try to use maybe an off day early that will count as an on day, because maybe we'll have a 2.5-hour film session and go over all the drills, and this is what we're looking for. A lot more teaching instead of, as you say, last year, to me, it was, man, start on the 18th. That's the latest day you could start the way the calendar works. And then, you know, play an exhibition game on the 30th or wherever we played it first. That seemed like an NBA deal, you know. And so I do like this better. It's just that we've never done it, so there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, and to make sure that those guys are fresh, because it's a long year. I mean, if you look at it, it is almost an NBA season now, just not with that number of games, but a lot of times practices are as hard as games. You know, we're starting, a week before the NBA, when they start third, fourth, anybody know here? Where are you, Detroit, Larry?
Monday,
so
they start Monday.
It's the
30th.
Right. So a couple start a little earlier, but I thought it was second or third, and if they don't make the playoffs, they're done, the early part of April. So it's almost you know, within 3 weeks of an MBA thing now, and that's a long season.
This new schedule help your freshmen maybe more than anybody?
Yeah, I think it will help the freshmen. I think it'll help all our guys because we're not cramming everything down their throat, and they're going to get a better chance to rest. Because the other thing we did when we only had that many days, we used the 20 hours to the max. So, I mean, we had 2-a-days, you know, maybe one session we just walked through because we're trying to cram everything in. So, I think it's a great move. It's just that it's an unknown, and all of a sudden you pick a year when you start on the latest possible day last year, which was October 18th, and now you go to 27th. That's a big difference. And then it's even been a little bit of a challenging on the recruiting to try to get more done early. So it's just been just adjustments.
Are the freshmen progressing as well as you would like them to?
Yeah, you know, and yet I'm, as you can imagine, more worried. When you have freshmen, you know, when you need them to is when you lost all your upperclassmen. And Kentucky goes through that. I mean, I'm hoping our freshmen keep progressing. I hope they don't catch the other guys, if that makes any sense. Because if they do, that means somebody's faltering on the other end. So, but I am worried just about, not worried, excited about everybody, because I think we've got a lot of guys that can play, and I think we're going to play a lot of guys. And so we'll see where that takes us.
Is there a starting lineup as practice starts?
You know, I mean, I'm sure I'll do what I should do, and that's there's 4 starters back, and right now Gary will be out, but they'll be in that position sort of. And then the 5th one will go with the experienced guy first, would be Matt or Alex. But there's not a starting 5. If there's one thing I promised myself I was going to do this year, so I guess everybody should hold me accountable to it, is everything should be earned every day. I think, you know, last year there were times we made guys captain because of default more than for a good reason. You know, I think I worried too much over the years about what things look like publicly instead of just looking at what is best for my team. So if guys don't play or if guys miss classes and there's consequences, I'm not going to worry about no insult but Twitter, talk radio, all the things. I think I did a poor job of that at times. You know, I remember one incident in particular, and I let that kind of define me for a year or two. And I've always believed in this. There's no greater deterrent than playing time. You know, it just, that's, and we got enough players right now that I think we're going to see great effort on a consistent basis. And if there's not, that'll be the way I'm going to deal with it, instead of less yelling, less this and that, more right to the fact of hitting people where it hurts, and that's a point.
Tom, a lot of talk last year with BJ coming back from the injury and maybe being apprehensive at times, you know, laying up, not dunking it. Do you feel like this, now he's kind of...
He's a different guy. Now, what that's going to do, but you might see it today, you might not. I mean, he's playing harder, he's worked harder, he's spent an incredible amount of time in his gym, and I don't think he's even thinking about his injury anymore. I do. I watched some film with him. I definitely think last year, you know, even I couldn't see it at times, but subliminally, he was, there were just vibes that he wasn't the guy that I recruited, you know. And you've seen it with RG3, you know, we got mesmerized by Adrian Peterson. You know, we did, we all did, the whole nation did, the whole world did. And as we learned that, to me, Brandon Dawson's a freak of nature, RG3 is, Adrian Peterson is, but one of them, and maybe only one, was a double freak of nature, because it didn't seem to even slow him down an ounce. And so I actually have grown an appreciation for what Brandon went through. And I think you'll see a different guy.
Keep on for one more if there is.
Can you talk about Kenny, just really what it means to have him back on the team off his red shirt?
Well, I think, you know, what he brings is he can really shoot the ball. As a lot of you saw the last month of the season when he was on the scout team. And because of that, he never can have enough shooters. I mean, he gives us something off the bench. Plus, if you've seen him out there, he's lost 35 pounds. He's He's, I think he's 32 or 3 or 5, and he's just in better physically, and I think even makes him better mentally.
Yeah, so there you go. That was head coach of the MSU basketball team, Tom Izzo, addressing the status of the team going into next season. A lot of politically correct, you know, answers there, Matt. I mean, nothing really sticking out there because they haven't really started getting into practice yet. I mean, that was an open practice to the media. Afterwards, Tom had a great event, you know, and Joe Rexroy had a pretty funny article about the media day kind of invite to Tom Izzo's house, because afterwards around 6 p.m. that day, the media were invited to Tom Izzo's house just to kind of kick it and get to know Izzo a little bit more. He has a basement. His basement is unbelievable, man. It's like a mini Dave and Buster's. I tell you, it's unbelievable. But
Rex, it in, Al.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was a great time, though, man. But you had a great weekend. Oh, we didn't talk about your weekend.
I did. I had a great weekend, but I'm gonna be waiting for my personal invite to go just hang out at the Izzo household
next year. I might be waiting for a long time,
but I'm just gonna keep waiting.
Well, I think he does it every year. That was my first year going, so we're rolling next time. All right.
Sounds awesome.
It was good stuff, man. But Tom Izzo kind of addressing the team, which like I said, in many preseason reports, I mean, this MSU basketball team is ranked up there in the top five, some one or two. I mean, a lot of expectations there for the team. It's very, something that stuck out to me, that I was definitely looking forward to see his answer on was the status of Brandon Dawson for this upcoming season. Of course, you know, we saw last season with BJ, we saw flashes that, okay, this kid has a lot of potential and can do a lot of great things. But then we saw, as the season went on, I really saw him laboring and kind of thinking about subconsciously that knee. And this season, I'm really going to be interested to see if BJ, if that becomes, a thing that's put in the back of his mind now. Because you would see sometimes, if he would go up, he wouldn't go up 100%. He would go up kind of 70%, 60%, just kind of laboring, and deservingly so, because he doesn't want to tear that knee again. But I think that's what every ACL injury, something that
right.
I would love to see if he, kind of gets over that this season,
Right, because, you heal mentally in a certain – or you heal physically, rather, in a certain amount of time, but mentally I think it's going to take a little bit longer, especially in a sport like basketball where you are putting a lot of stress on your knees, you're jumping everywhere, you're making plays, you're making quick cuts. It's going to stick around with you, and like you said, he was tentative last year.
Right.
And if he's not, he's a different player.
Right.
Because – I mean, good luck keeping him off the glass, and good luck keeping him away from the rim, because the guy's going to make plays, and he's going to elevate over you and dunk really hard in somebody's face. It's going to happen soon.
Right.
But there were a couple things I picked out of there that I liked. Obviously, the big high ranking, Izzo says, just a ranking. Obviously, he's got to say that, but I really think he believes it, because, we've had those years where
we're
right
so
up at
high.
The top, and then you just kind of plummet. And when you have that high ranking and you struggle, it's kind of tough to stop that from snowballing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this team obviously has the pieces in place to live up to that ranking and more. The other thing, he talked about not awarding a captain by default and about earning it every day in practice. And I really like that, too, because, it just kind of says that just because you're an upperclassman doesn't mean you are going to get the nod. Just because, you've been here for a few years doesn't mean you've already earned everything that you can earn. I liked his zen approach with the playing time instead of yelling. Not sure how long that's going to last.
this Tom Izzo we're talking about
here. Seems like Tom Izzo and yelling go hand in hand.
Right.
But, I like that he's just kind of – he's going to make you earn it. He knows he's got a deep team. He knows that guys are fighting for spots and playing time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to award it to whoever is earning it that day or, through that week. I like that. It's a fluid thing, and nothing is etched in stone. You got to
earn that
it.
Too. I really like that. And, something else that really stuck out to me on that whole leadership thing when he addressed that was Keith Appling. Keith Appling was a guy who Izzo, overall, I think Keith did, he tried to do, his best job as he could. And Keith is not a real vocal guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you sit throughout an MSU basketball practice, you won't see Keith cussing out somebody for not making a cut or something like that. He leads by example, by going out there and working his butt off. And Keith has always done that, which is that's how some leaders are. I mean, we had Greg Kelser on the show for Current Sports TV, and Greg was that type of leader. Magic was the type of guy that'll get in your face and say, hey, man, you're screwing up. You got to do better. While Greg was the type of guy to go out there and just work harder than everyone out there on the court. And that's the type of guy that Keith Appling is. And, you know, it was interesting when Izzo addressed that Friday about, you know, Keith kind of, you know, stepping up as, you know, in that leadership role. But Izzo understands what type of leader that Keith is. He understands that he's not that Draymond Green type of guy who's going to, you know, be, you know, just this emotional juggernaut. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's not how Keith is.
And, I mean, Keith played with Draymond, probably couldn't get a word in.
Exactly.
Just Draymond's
right?
always saying
That's how
something.
Draymond is. Yeah, that's Draymond's exactly. personality. You know what I mean? So I'm really going to be interested to see how the – because the leadership, to be frank with you, was an issue last season. And I'm really going to see who blossoms into that guy that you can look at and say, okay, yeah, he's the clear leader.
Yeah, because, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, and Izzo's comments about liking the chemistry, it definitely seems like everybody likes each other. They all like each other. You know, they enjoy playing with each other. They enjoy, you know, just being a team. You know, they enjoy all their teammates. But at the end of the day, you do need a guy who is going to call people out.
You need that type
of guy. To put
it bluntly,
you need somebody who is going to kind of, you know, I know we're friends, but at the same time, you know, we're trying to win a championship here. We got to push ourselves a little bit more. You need somebody who's going to prod him along. Izzo's a great coach, but you need players to want it too.
You need leaders on the court.
Yep.
You know, you need leaders on the court to do that. And, you know, it's kind of that yin and yang type of thing because, like I said, the yin and yang for MSU's basketball team back in the day when, you know, I go back to the Greg Kelser, Magic was the guy to get in your face. Greg was the guy to show it. You know what
right.
I mean?
And I mean, Mateen and Mo Pete.
Mateen and Mo Pete is another great example. Mateen's the guy to get in your face. Mo Pete's the guy to go out there and be a workaholic. You always need that yin and yang on any team. You know what I mean? And MSU is going to have to find that guy, who those two guys are this season, because it definitely was a little – it was blurred last season,
right.
To say the least. So
well, yeah. I mean, they had to fill that Draymond void.
And that's hard to do. Yeah.
And it was, because the dude could lead people for sure.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we have a special Top 5 Tuesday for you. And also, we had a caller call not too long ago, you know, kind of discussing the entire Jack Wallace situation that's going on. Again, Jack Wallace has been reinstated as Okemos' varsity head football coach. And she gave some great insight as to what's really going on at Okemos High School. We're going to hit on that really quick and go right into Top 5 Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. More current sports is coming right back.
On the next Fresh Air, Chris Matthews, host of MSNBC's Hardball and author of the new book Tip and the Gipper, When Politics Worked. It's about how the House Speaker Tip O'Neill and President Reagan managed to work together, even though they disagreed on most issues as well as on the role of government. Matthews was an aide to O'Neill, advising him on press communications. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show on the whole Okemos High School football situation. As Jack Wallace, who was let go as Okemos' football coach last week, has been reinstated as Okemos' varsity head football coach. During practice on Monday, after meeting with Superintendent Catherine Ash, Principal Christine Cernak, and Athletic Director Ira Childress. What are your thoughts on that whole situation? Of course, I know many of you out there in the Mid-Michigan area know a kid, maybe even your kid, who attends Okemos High School, has been a part of the athletic program or the football team, maybe friends with the head coach now, Jack Wallace, or, you know, used to go to Okemos High School. If you got any comments on this story, 517-355-9527. And not too long ago, during the Izzo presser bite, we had a caller call in to kind of give us some more insight into this whole situation that's going on. And she kind of hinted on really the teachers and the teachers and parents here, because not many know that you do have to pay $380 per student for the Okemos football team, which I really don't understand that one in the first place. But, yeah, every student has to pay roughly around $375-380 for their kid to play on a football team. And really what this caller basically said, and this caller has a son who wrestles for Okemos High School. But anyway, she basically said that what was going on where a handful of teachers were kind of upset that parents were upset that their child was not playing. They were upset, especially as I guess it was kind of elevated, seeing as though this Okemos football team, you know, is still searching for the first win. They're 0-5 right now. So you would think, you know, well, this is coming from their thinking. If they're not racking up wins and losing each and every game, why isn't my son coming off the bench and possibly getting some playing time? So they were upset. They decided to go to administration. Pressure kind of gets on Ira. And then boom, shakalaka, boom goes the dynamite, and we have this entire fiasco going on. Again, if you got any comments on this, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your thoughts on it, and we're going to actually be having this conversation again tomorrow. We're going to kind of blow this up and kind of take this story, because there's so many tidbits and discussion that you can have about this one story, so many messages to take from it. We're actually going to be talking about this for our Barbershop Wednesday segment tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that. Tune in tomorrow at 1. Matt, in the meantime, I believe we have some quick picks to get to and also Top 5 Tuesday. Let's try to rattle it off real quick. What picks
alrighty,
we got, man?
We got some serious picks. Now, the baseball playoffs obviously still not totally set in stone. We do have a game tonight, though. It is the NL wildcard game, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Who you got?
Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Give me Pittsburgh, man.
Yep. I'm gonna take Pittsburgh, too. I think it's good that they're in, and I hope they stay around for longer than one game, because that's ridiculous. We already picked the Tigers and A's. We also have the Dodgers at the Braves.
Dodgers and Braves.
Five-game series.
Five-game series there.
I'm 100% sure.
Okay, I was about to ask you that. You know what? Give me the Braves, man.
All right. I'm going to take the Dodgers.
Okay. I can't be singing again. I've dodged so many bullets. I'm finally singing. You know, I can't do it again.
Yeah, if,
not again, man.
Let's trust me. You haven't even done it yet, and you're already.
Yeah, I'm already thinking it's going to be so embarrassing.
AL wildcard game. This is tomorrow. Tampa, obviously after last night, at the Indians. Who you got?
No, I'm going to go with Cleveland.
Cleveland?
I got faith in Cleveland.
I'm going to take Tampa. I like the notion of winning to get in and then keeping that momentum rolling.
So they do. It's a big part of baseball, right?
It is, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
Momentum is just about everything.
It is.
All right, so let's move on to some college football here. MSU at Iowa. I want winner and score.
Give me MSU.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think this would be a high-scoring game, to be honest with you. I'm going to go give me MSU 17-14.
17-14. I'm thinking the same thing. You are both teams better defensively than
right.
they are offensively.
I may even go lower. I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding four touchdowns in this game, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Last year was 16-13, though.
Was
so that,
it?
It's, you know, I'm going to go 17. Nope, I'm going to go 16-10. I know, it's tough. 16-10 MSU.
We're around the same ballpark. Yeah, I don't think this would be a high-scoring game, a defensive battle.
It'd be really funny, though, if both offenses just explode, and it's, you know, 45-41 or something.
Yeah.
Minnesota at Michigan.
I'm going to go with Michigan, and I think that'll be – I think Michigan is just going to just romp them. I think they'll – man, but looking at what happened, and, you know,
we thought that for the last 2 weeks.
Akron,
yeah, exactly.
You know what? Give me Michigan, though. 31-17.
Okay. That's a good one. I'm going to go Michigan 31-14.
Gotcha.
Over Minnesota. All right. And then one more Big Ten game. It's the marquee matchup this week, Ohio State at Northwestern.
Yeah, that's a night game.
It's a
tomorrow.
Good game.
Good game. Homecoming for Northwestern. Interesting stuff there. I'm going to go with Ohio State, though.
Okay.
Ohio State, no score there?
Give me your score.
Score.
Mm-hmm.
27-21.
Okay. It's a tight game.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to go with the Buckeyes, too. It's tough to pick against them.
It's very tough.
Especially
to pick
when with Braxton Miller back looking good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
No. Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's
my
what
gosh.
A great problem.
That's
I'm going to go
great problem.
31-24 OSU.
Okay.
And that is it until Friday. When we start picking these NFL games.
Sounds good. Well, I got to get my vocal cords ready because me and Alex will be rocking the mic. Very interested to see what song we will be singing that day, whenever the day is. Gosh, that's going to be so embarrassing. I am not looking forward to that.
I really, really am looking forward to it, though.
I'm sure.
It's going to be great.
It's fun for the guy who picks the song. I had a great time picking the song for Alex. I mean, Raining Men, come on, man.
That's him in a tough spot, and he just knocked it right out of the park.
I was dying the entire time he pre-recorded that. But anyway, okay, Top 5 Tuesday. We have a special Top 5 Tuesday for you all out there. This week, decided to, honor the comeback kid. That's right. What are the top five greatest sports comebacks of all time? Well, I guess I can start off this one. I'll start off this one.
Go for it.
For me, you know, one of the ones that really stand out for me, I'm a huge NBA fan, the Indiana Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
In 1995, Reggie Miller scored 8 points in the final 18.7 seconds to beat the Knicks in game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. The Pacers were going to lose, though, in the next round to Orlando. But that moment, Reggie Miller just rattling off threes, one of the greatest shooters of all time. I mean, he hits one, steals another one, hits one fading back. I mean, it was unbelievable. Then he looks at Spike Lee, you know, throughout that series, gives him the choke sign. I mean, that was great stuff there. So I got to go with Reggie on that. Duke in 2001. Duke trailed Maryland by 22 in the first half. The 2001 Final Four before mounting a 95-84 comeback victory. That was another one that definitely stood out to me. The Boston Red Sox in 2004. The Red Sox overcame a 3-0 series deficit to beat their arch rival, New York Yankees, in the ALCS en route to the World Series. And Johnny Damon is a pretty cool pitcher with him after they won that series. Classic pitcher there. But Indianapolis coach in 2003, the Colts scored 21 points in the final 5 minutes of this Monday Night Football spectacular game to knock off the stunned Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, 38-35. You remember that one, man?
I do remember that one. Oh, Al Michaels almost lost his mind.
He almost went crazy. Yeah. He had an aneurysm that game. they were trailing 28-7 heading into the fourth quarter. 28-7. Then Peyton Manning, who I just think is just, I'm a fan of Peyton Manning.
And not only Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning in a night game.
In a night game.
It's like,
man.
Tiger in a red shirt. It's like, right, LeBron sans headband. Man, the guy just steps his game up.
He just steps his game up. It's
every
unbelievable.
Single time.
And, you know, I want to have the conversation later on, you know, in the coming days. You know, Peyton Manning is just simply unbelievable. But his, you know, his postseason record is a little, you know, iffy sometimes. And I want to, you know, throw out the question there, you know, what people think about Peyton Manning. He's a great regular season quarterback. He's unbelievable regular season quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But when the postseason comes, you know, things kind of, I don't know. I want to get people's thoughts on that. But we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, that game was unbelievable. And number one, Kentucky. In 1994, the Wildcats rallied from 31 down with 15 minutes, 30 seconds left to win at LSU. Rick Pitino, Kentucky's head coach at the time, is still likely trying to figure out how in the heck that happened. it was unbelievable, though. A huge, huge comeback. 31 down, and they beat LSU that game. That was another unbelievable one. All right, what you got, man?
All righty. Starting off, keeping it on campus, although I guess it was a road game. Mm-hmm. MSU versus Northwestern in 2006.
Okay.
Maybe the lone bright spot of John L. Smith's tenure here. this was in his last season.
Right.
If they lost this game, I'm assuming he gets fired that week. But they're down 38-3 with 9:54 left in the third quarter and mount a ridiculous comeback, including a blocked punt, mm-hmm. return for a touchdown, interception. Drew Stanton gets in, starts tossing touchdowns, and they end up winning 41-38 in regulation. Didn't even need overtime.
Didn't even need overtime.
They got through it. Moving on. Number four, Illinois versus Arizona, 2005 Elite Eight. D. Browns, Darren Williams, and Luther Head. They're down 15 with 5 minutes left. Head tips an inbound pass from Arizona to Darren Williams, who hits the three to tie. They win in overtime.
I remember that one.
Great game. Great weekend game in college basketball back then. NHL, Boston Bruins over the Maple Leafs this year. Down 3 in the third, down 2 with less than 90 seconds. Score 2 goals in 31 seconds, win 5-4 in overtime.
I remember reading about that game. I didn't watch hockey, but yes, I do remember that.
Number 2, 1993, Bills Oilers down 35-3 in the third. Frank Reich in for Jim Kelly, leads Buffalo on the comeback. Warren Moon, costly interception. Buffalo wins 41-38 in overtime. And number one is the 2004 ALCS. They lost 19-8 in game three, down to their final out in the ninth. Dave Roberts steals a base. Schilling's bloody sock in game six. Johnny Damon hits a grand slam in game seven.
Yeah.
They beat the Yankees. The curse of the Bambino is over. They go on, beat St. Louis, win the World Series. It's got to be number one.
It's definitely that's one of those moments you just look at it and say, wow. That was definitely a wow series, to say the least. All right, great show. Before we leave, Special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lepke. Engineer Aaron Young. Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Again, sign up to be a part of the live studio audience for tomorrow's taping at 6:30 of me and Kathy Klages, Current Sports TV. Sign up at WKAR.org to be a part of the live audience. Thanks to all of you out there, good people, for tuning in today. Really appreciate it. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day. It's a beautiful day outside. And as always, be easy, people.